Meanwhile, at the Abbey front, Grey Patcher drastically changed his opinion of the creatures he once called bumpkins. The accuracy of the stone slinging had driven him and his sea rats off the flatlands and down into the ditch. Shaking with frustration, he ducked smartly as another salvo of rocks and homemade spears rattled overhead. The fire at the gates had been smothered under heaps of rubble. Big Fang was still lying senseless on the path. Frink, Fishkill and some others had their claws fully occupied, trying to catch the little ore slaves, some of whom had crossed the ditch and were dodging about on the flatlands. Dripnose scrambled along the ditch bed to Grey Patch. He was nursing a fractured limb, keeping his head well down as missiles rained in from above.
Ah, these creatures fight like mad things, Captain.
What did you expect them to do, Weevil Brain? Throw flowers at us?
Maybe not, but we're out of spears and arrows. The crew are having to make do with throwing back the stuff that's been flung at us. They don't seem to be short of arms atop of that wall.
Grey Patch spat contemptuously.
Homemade rubbish. There's not a proper sword or cutlass between the lot of them. Just wait till Kaibo and his buckos come over their precious wall. We'll soon sort out the warriors from the wet noses.
Deadlin was nearby. He shook his head doubtfully.
Well, where's Kaibo and the West? They'd been around here long enough to build a blasted wall, never mind climb one.
A second later, he regretted the outburst as Grey Patch turned to him.
Avast there, smart mouth. Get yourself round to the back of the east wall and see what's keeping them. Look lively now. Dripnose, get lard gut and see if you can drag that oaf, Big Fang, back down the ditch here. He's neither use nor ornament lying spark out on that path.
Mother Mellis seized a full basket of rubble and heaved it toward the ditch with a mighty effort. The screams and curses from below confirmed her accuracy. She winked at a group of enthusiastic sling throwers.
That's the stuff to give 'em. Keep it up. We've got them pinned down tight. How are you doing, Saxtus?
The young mouse dodged the flying rock and slung one smartly back.
Fine, Marm. Just fine. Though it's all a bit puzzling. I've noticed that we only seem to be fighting about 30 or so sea rats. And they had nearly 100 by flags count. Where's the rest of them?
The badger weighed a large chunk of rock in both paws as she pondered the question.
I don't know, really. I wasn't counting. Maybe we'd better check around the walls to see they're not laying some sort of trap. You take the south wall and I'll cover the... Oh, thundering fur! The east wall, look! There's Dibbins over there!
The three small comrades in arms were looking for more ropes to cut when Mellis, Saxtus and Flag descended upon them.
You naughty little rascals! What are you doing out of your beds, eh?
Brr, us'n's only a cuttin'.
Give me those knives this instant. You could have cut the paws off yourselves playing around with them. You scallywags.
But we was only saving the abbey.
Not another word, do you hear me? Wait until Friar Alder sees his best vegetable chopping knives. I wouldn't like to be in your fur.
Flag picked up a three-pronged grappling hook.
Hold on there, ma'am. Look at this. There's lots of them lying about. I wonder where they came from.
Grubbs shook his paw severely at Mother Mellis.
That's what I be trying to tell ye, missus. Twere us'uns who chopped ye ropes off'n they hooks.
But we won't next time if you start a-shouting and a-scolding, so there.
Saxtus was peering over the wall.
Golly, look at this.
Upward of half a dozen sea rats had been killed by the fall, impaled on broken branches or crushed by their falling comrades. The rest lay about in a pitiful state, moaning as they nursed broken and aching limbs. Flag scratched his whiskers in disbelief.
Well, gimme fins and call me a fish. So that's what the rest of the pesky vermin were up to.
Grubbs shook his furry head.
Not oop, maester. Only halfway's oop.
Saxtus laughed loud at the joke, but his merriment withered under Mellis's icy stare. Flag, however, was shaking paws, hugging and patting the three Dibbons.
Well done, fellas. Strike me! You saved the abbey and no mistake.
Bag and Run sat against the wall, rubbing their eyes and yawning. The badger swept them up, one in each big paw. She tried to look stern, but could not help smiling.
Come on, heroes. Bed for you three, and stay there this time.
Grub rode down the wall steps, piggyback upon Flag's broad back.
I'm not afeard of no beast, more than any warrior, that be I.
Grey Patch stood out on the path. his sword tight at Pakatug's neck as he called up to the rampart.
Truce or I'll kill this squirrel!
Roof Brush slackened off his sling.
Truce then! Speak your peace, rat!
All along the western north walls, the defenders put aside the missiles to listen. Grey Patch stood in a pool of moonlight and delivered his message.
Stop throwing and let us withdraw!
Roof chuckled scornfully.
Had enough, mangy chops!
Pakatug squealed slightly as the sword pressed closer. Grey Patch was in no mood to bandy insults.
Aye, we've had enough for one try. You may have won the battle, but I'll win the war. Now let us walk away in peace, or this one dies.
Simeon appeared, leaning on his friend the abbot.
Go then. You could have done that any time without threatening the life of a helpless squirrel.
At a signal from Grey Patch, the defeated sea rats began their retreat north along the path. Grey Patch could not resist a parting shot.
Wait and wonder when we will return, Mouse. Then you will really see what a battle is like.
Simeon turned his head in the direction of Grey Patch's voice.
Alas, I will never see anything, for I am blind, but I can sense a lot. I can feel you are both evil and desperate. They say you have only one eye. I am surprised at you. Even a fool with half an eye could see that you will never triumph against good if you are evil.
This ends Disc 6.